Just want to talk into the sights.
Yeah, you are really loud today.
What up?
More like what up.
What up?
So, listeners of the show, maybe we have gotten rid of Cody. We had an argument
with hatchets.
Well, I was saying Digimon was better. He was saying Pokemon was better. Rachel came in. She sided with me on Poke. And he left the show.
Permanently, actually.
So now they have me. My name's Ashley Wadups.
She's much better than Cody, and she's prettier.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. Well, you're listening to Aggie Newsroom by the students for the students here on Aggie Radio. We've got a pretty good show for you today here. What do you think, Riley?
It's a pretty full show.
Seriously.
So today it is a little bit different. We will be having, the news, the candidates for ASUSU president. Basically, they're the president of all student stuff is the easiest way to recognize it.
Student body president.
We have our incumbent. He's doing a good job. And then we have a guy named Ryan
Lambert.
And Joss Lefevre. And I have no opinions about any of them, so hopefully they can win me over by the end of the show.
Now, let's see. Are we allowed to be biased on here, Riley?
Yeah, well, be yourself.
I'll
just
be
don't
myself.
Lie.
No lying?
Yeah.
Ryan Lambert, I love you.
Mark, we're sorry to hear that. That's your loss.
Funny story, Riley. Do you want to hear it? It'll take 5 seconds.
I got 7 to spare.
Ryan Lambert actually set Mark and I up.
Whoa.
Wow,
right?
So you'll have to name one of your children after him. That's kind of the rule.
Obviously, of course.
I think that should be a rule. You know, if they're responsible.
You know what? Mm-hmm.
That's not that, unless they have a weird name.
Like, well, when you think about it, that's like the purpose of family names, isn't it? Like your previous family, your heritage, they're the ones that are responsible for having you. So, I mean, that's probably why we feel obligated to name them. Yes, a middle name. I agree.
Now, safe.
Okay, Thompson, son of Thomas. Where does Hilton come from? At?
Oh, the best story. Okay, so Ireland in not ancient times, but you know, medieval times. Back in the day, there was a warrior, a mighty warrior, and he fought with a sword. And then there was a lowly townsman who ended up saving the day. And so this mighty warrior who always fought things with a sword, he ended up giving the lowly townsman who saved the day the hilt on his sword.
Oh.
Hence, Hilton.
Now, where does Wadups come from, Ashley?
Oh, gosh. It's gone through
she
a lot of
She wadded up a lot of...
No, it's not that.
One
it's
who
not
wads?
Medieval teacher either.
Oh, do you waddle?
No.
Did
no.
you have ancestors mm-hmm. that waddle?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was like an evolutionary thing.
Or just a mean
not.
Nickname. Hi, my name is John Four Eyes. My ancestor had kit glasses.
Exactly. No.
It's evolved into Four Eyes.
It's gone through a lot of changes, though. In fact, back in like the 1500s, it was something similar to Wiederop. So we don't really know, though.
Interesting.
But England and gone through a lot of changes, but
that's wonderful that
maybe
you know all these stories.
Maybe it was an insult. It could easily be.
Maybe. And I don't know Thomas. Apparently, I'm his long ancestor. But now we have our first one, Campus Chatter. Here's the intro for it. Campus Chatter with Ashley Wadups, or we call her Cody 2.0. She's going to tell you what's happening around campus, local news stories, and basically news in general. Here we go with the brightest lady on campus, Ashley Wadups.
Okay, so first we have from Cache Valley Daily, Salt Lake City, the rising costs of college tuition, room and board aren't the only financial obstacles to higher learning. According to a new report, soaring textbook prices are also keeping some Utah students from getting the most out of their college education. The average cost of a college textbook has risen 82% in the past decade. So it comes to like nearly $200 per book, said Ethan Senek, a higher education associate for the Public Interest Research Group, adding that for students that could mean an extra $1,200 per year. When students are doing their best to earn a degree within 4 years, he said, they should be focused on taking classes they need to earn the degree, not tapped out because they have to choose between a textbook and rent. The good news, Senek says, is that students are ready for alternatives to the traditional textbook model. The report proposes more universities embracing the uses of the open textbook, which are faculty written and peer reviewed, but published under an open license, and free for students to read online or download in print. There's a tremendous potential to save student money and give them access they need to the textbooks they're required to buy for their course without breaking the bank, he said. Open textbooks typically cost from $20 to $40 to purchase a hard copy. Legislation to authorize grants to create and adapt more open textbooks has been introduced in both the U.S. Senate and House, but the bills face stiff objections from the traditional publishing industry and haven't made it to the floor of either chamber. Despite the increased prevalence of rental programs, used books, and e-books, the report found that 65% of students have opted out of purchasing a book for a class, with nearly all reporting they suffered academically as a result.
Oh, wow.
That's something we can definitely all relate to with textbooks.
Check out course reserves if you haven't. They are very useful.
Yeah, extremely so. And I think that, I mean, our bookstore, I don't know, maybe as an English major is different, but $200 a book, is that, Riley, is that something you've experienced? Or?
I use course reserves, or I rent them, or I find old students. Like, you can go, I'm very cheap with my textbooks, but no, most I've ever spent was like $150.
Yeah, I mean, and with price comparisons on Amazon, eBay, that just seems a little exorbitant, but again, that could be possibly more like a national rate.
I think that's even more of a reason that students need more lenient loans.
Yeah,
exactly. You just can't work through it.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and like I said, that shouldn't be keeping people from, they shouldn't have to choose between rent and a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we ready to move into our next news story?
I'm ready.
So this is a little bit more close to home. Shelby Fron said she expected more candidates to run for the USU Student Association elections. There are 30 students running for 16 student governmental positions, with 8 candidates running unopposed. Fron thought each position would have at least 2 candidates, especially since there were 48 students who were applying for votes last year. Nevertheless, Fron, the elections committee chair, and her co-chair, Kayla Bauckham, are planning a detailed week of events for the 2014 student elections. "We are planning down to the detail," Fron said. "That will make the week so much smoother. We're running a huge campaign for the elections. Most of our budget is going toward campaigning for elections week. We hope to raise attendance. We hope the candidates show up at the events. We're giving them an opportunity to voice their platform." Along with planning events like debates, town halls, and banquets, Fron and Bauckham are also responsible for enforcing the recently amended election bylaws. A sometimes confusing subject, off-campus campaigning was changed to include apartment buildings. But the candidate must have permission from the manager of the residence and the tenants involved, if necessary. If a candidate wants to hang a large banner or sheet from the side of an apartment building, the tenant in that section and the manager must approve. Candidates are also not allowed to use vehicles for campaigns.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah,
that's private property.
Yeah.
But whatever, shout out to laws.
Yeah, and it seems like the other off-campus campaigns stem from Logan City Code. So as far as concerning on-campus campaigning, candidates are not allowed to lobby in residence halls or other USU buildings.
That's fair enough. That's public space. Mm-hmm. And someone knocks on my door, "Hey, vote for me." I say, "Go away. You lost my vote."
Yeah.
Well, but that's a huge campaigning strategy, though. I've been on one or two campaigns in my day, and the dorm storming thing is something that's always huge.
Yeah.
Even though technically you're not storming dorms because you're not allowed to, you know, campaign on campus. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, that is a huge part and where a lot of these people actually get their votes.
Yeah. Well, the freshmen live on campus, they're more likely to vote.
It's true.
You know, if voting is 2 days and you're not even there on campus one of those days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as like when you're a student later in your career, you're much more likely to almost not necessarily be on campus less, but yeah, exactly. Be on campus less, you know, like you don't you have like Tuesday, Thursday classes, Riley, is all?
Last semester.
Last semester.
I'm out of the building by 9:30 or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing they mentioned is that distribution of campaign materials are limited to flyers. So does that mean they can't hand out pens or
no pens, buttons,
like
frisbees, or anything else?
How interesting!
And they can't. It's also a good thing though because it means you know they can't stick candy on their flyers because I know that personally I am quite fond of candy and sweets and if someone gave me a piece of candy, I'd be like, you know what, you're all right. Like I'll vote for you.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
That's right. Awesome. Well, do we have time to go over who's running for what, or do we want to go on to our events of the week?
Let's do the events a little later in the show.
Okay.
Right now,
good.
We do have I'd say a pretty good looking guy.
Decent looking, I'd say.
I'm sorry.
Ryan Lambert, how the heck are you?
I was looking in a mirror. This is awkward.
Oh, dear.
But real quick, we forgot to do the intro today. So this is Aggie Newsroom on Aggie Radio, Utah's number one news source. Today is Thursday, the 20th of February in the year 2014. The weather is nice.
Actually, it's gotten better. Did you see the blue sky?
Well, announcement. It's sandal season. I'm wearing sandals.
I
anyone
know,
who
your
comes
sandals are kind of janky, Riley.
They're well worn. Scarlett Johansson is 29 years old in 92 days. And the program, by the time it ends, there will be 24 days and 6 hours till the next True Aggie Night. I'm your host, Riley Thompson. Guest host, Ashley the Voice Wadup.
Ooh, that was
and,
good.
And Rachel the H is silent Hilton.
Wait, you didn't make the H silent. Remember how Cody did it last night before we kicked him off the show?
Like Raquel or something?
It was like Rachel the H is silent Inton.
I was so angry at him last night.
You just forgot everything nice that he said.
I was
actually
so
is that
angry.
No, that's a pretty neutral comment now that I think about it.
Yeah. Anyway, but we have Ryan Lambert and here he
Ryan Lambert.
Welcome to the show. We're excited to see you.
It's good to be here, you guys. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, so before we get into the heart, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I did grow up here in Logan. My parents do live about a block and a half away from campus, so that I've kind of grown up in the shadows of the university. But
oh, wow.
I'm just here. I'm a junior studying psychology and had an opportunity to run for student government, and so I'm taking it.
That's
it's
awesome.
Good to be here, though.
So you've lived here for a long time. What's your favorite thing about Utah State?
Good question. Probably, I don't know. I look back on what happened when I grew up, and I mean, Sunday walks, we'd go rollerblading through campus. I'll tell you this much. Like,
Ryan, do you still have rollerblades that fit you?
That fit me? No. Do I have some? Yes. Do I use them? No, but I do go 80 skate night on Tuesday.
Yes. I was going to say, Ryan, I have rollerblades. Why haven't we gone across Logan rollerblading together
do
yet?
Do you have rollerblades in size 11 and a half, Rachel?
No, but I have extendable rollerblades.
Ooh,
nice.
That's cool. Those and a little sketchy it. Sounding. Like, those, I think they always fall apart when you extend them, and it gets really scary really fast.
No, but answer your question. Like, honestly, we just grew up. You're like, going to the Spectrum when I was little, we'd sit on the family side, not the student side.
Oh.
Just going to Aggie Ice Cream. I mean, there's a slide that goes down off the railing there. We used to go down when we were little kids. So
oh, yeah.
Just like small things that we'd do around the university when I was little. But
that's great. So I love hearing about your childhood, but what's your favorite thing about Utah State right now? That's not me.
I did have psychological statistics with Rachel last semester, so that was a fun experience.
We had a great semester together.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
the connection, I see.
My favorite thing right now, I've kind of been trying to stress this right now, is just like helping people recognize that we have a unique opportunity here in Logan at Utah State that I feel is very unique in the sense of the size of the school. Like there's about 16,000 students here at Utah State. And as far as like student involvement and getting involved and taking advantage of opportunities, we have an opportunity to do that in a setting where students support you, the community supports you.
That's true.
And it's not, and it, at a school here, like, you are a name and not a number.
Exactly.
Agreed.
You know?
Definitely.
So I think that's one of my favorite things about Utah State.
Love that. So as far as improving the quality of student life here, how are you qualified for the position of president?
Good question. You know, just, I've been in some leadership experiences. I've kind of been around the university and seen kind of how the different clubs and organizations function.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've seen that I kind of want to focus on, I don't think we're reaching out to enough students. And one thing that's evidence of that is, for example, as I've kind of taken the opportunity to run for USUSA,
mm-hmm.
it's exposed me to a lot of the things that USUSA actually does. And I've realized that as a student, I haven't noticed a lot of the things that takes place there.
Could you possibly briefly explain to us what those things are? Because personally, I don't know what USUSA does for me except throws, you know, the howl
big
and Mardi Gras
for sure,
and things like
for
that.
Sure.
That's all I know that they do.
For sure. They are in charge of, like, the committees on campus, the clubs and activities that happen are going through USUSA. Student fees are made decisions by USUSA.
Oh,
and
I wasn't aware of that.
I mean, traditions and, like, you guys know everything else that happens there. But,
mm-hmm.
For example, over the past few weeks this semester, I mean, we've had a couple surveys come out. The USUSA name change was included with some legislative things that were passed, as
mm-hmm.
well as there was a common hour survey thrown out by USUSA. I don't know if you guys remember that, but those surveys were reaching out to really only about 6% of students.
Wow.
And
is that
so
how My Voice works as well? Do you
My Voice is different in the sense that, like, you can suggest and put out your concerns and your comments and stuff to that. And
so
that's been a good thing. And I think Doug and I think USUSA has done a great job. President's Cabinet has done a great job with putting that together. But as far as, like, reaching out to students, I feel like we need to do a lot better job of getting a bigger variety of students involved.
Yeah, and you mentioned that on your campaign profile. So you mentioned that you want to create opportunities for more students in order to promote student involvement and personal development. So how specifically are you wanting to achieve this? Or what would be, I don't know, your ideal goal as far as that goes?
First of all, we need to improve the communication, because all the decisions that are made with the USUSA and the Academic Senate, that's what's affecting all the students. And when there's not clear communication up top, the people affected by that are the students at the bottom of that. And so I spoke with Jason Bruff. He's the president of the Native American Student Council the other day. And he was a great example of just kind of what I feel like a lot of the students are. He was a couple years ago just wanting to get involved, mm-hmm. didn't really know where to look, mm-hmm. and somehow found himself involved with the Native American Student Council. And I think that's great. I mean, just making sure people are aware of what opportunities are there, and then having a chance to find that. So, for example, like Day on the Quad, mm-hmm. that's a great opportunity for students at the beginning of the year to go out and see what's out there. An idea that I would like to implement is maybe doing something similar in the spring. I mean, we have close to 700 new students from fall to spring semester that are also looking for new opportunities. And so, I mean, something similar to that, just small opportunities here and there to get people aware and give them opportunities to get involved.
Right, that sounds like a great idea. So, overall then, what's the greatest reason that students at USU should vote for you?
Good question. I think they should, because I've tried to show this to people. I don't want to be your friend just to get a vote from you these next couple of weeks. Like, I honestly hope that we can just, like, I just want to represent the students. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not different than anybody else. I mean, I do 80 skate night. I cram for tests. I eat cereal 2 out of 3 meals a day, just like everybody else, you know. But just the feeling that, like, in a position where the decisions made by USUSA affect everybody, like, come and talk to me. Like, I am a student. I understand this side of the view, and I'm learning what it is to be on the administrative side of it as well. And so I represent you, and I hope to be able to represent what we need as students as well.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan. We've enjoyed having you on. Again, Ryan Lambert, not Adam. That's like a singer.
That's my cousin.
Oh, I wish.
It's really not.
Different
it's really
Adam.
Not.
Oh,
and
different
I have
Adam.
One question for you. Yes or no? Would you support a 24-hour computer lab in the TSC?
Personally, no.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Anyway, thank you for being on, and where can we learn more about you?
I have Facebook, I have Twitter, I have Instagram. Just follow me at...
So all social media. I've been reusing MySpace. I think that's coming back now.
You know
it's
what?
Horrible.
You know what? My first crush, I had a crush with a girl in preschool. And I rekindled through my junior year of high school through MySpace. So,
wow.
Props
that's
to MySpace.
That's amazing.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah, I logged
She's
on
married now and is going to have a baby, but...
I'm so sorry for your loss.
That's okay.
Well, anyway, thank you so much, and good luck in the election.
Okay, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, and I know you have one of our votes here.
What are you talking about?
You said you were going to vote for him.
Yes, anyway. I did. Actually, I love Ryan Lambert, everybody. If you... care for my opinion, vote for Ryan.
Thanks, Rach.
Even if you don't care for my opinion, vote for Ryan anyways.
Anyway, next we have a song on. It's Fortune Teller by Maroon 5 from their album Overexposed.
I'm not a fortune teller. I won't be bringing news of what tomorrow brings. I'll leave that up to you. I'm not a fortune teller. Don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future. Can't see nothing at all. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of all the things that you say, but I just think we should stay stuck in the moment today. And as the seasons roll by, no matter how hard I try, summer will fortune teller.
mess. I'll never know. Fortune teller. This feeling keeps growing. These rivers keep flowing. How can I have answers when you drown me in questions? I'll never know how the future will go. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a fortune teller.
And we're back, and we are going to have pop culture news. So as you know, I love entertainment and everything about it, and I love the people who make our entertainment. So without further ado, here is pop culture news. First news story. Actually, you know what, guys? I'm going to say it right now. I've run out of news on Scarlett Johansson.
Or he's just run out of the want and desire to keep telling the same Scarlett Johansson story.
Yeah. So I will be alternating between two people. One for the girls, Neil Patrick Harris. He's quite handsome. Although
Patrick Harris, what's he on?
How I Met Your Mother. He's Barney.
Oh, I see.
And then the other one will be Scarlett Johansson.
Obviously.
But the big thing is Jimmy Fallon has taken over The Tonight Show.
Have you watched it yet?
It is great.
I watched it while I was running the other
night.
And
I actually have
wonderful.
A clip of it. So have you heard the Brian Williams raps?
No.
So Brian Williams, famous newscaster, they just took snippets and makes it sound like he's rapping.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the best one ever. And here we go.
I said, okay. The hippie to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang. Boogie set up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to groove your feet. See, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie, so the boogie say, up, jump, the boogie, so the bang, bang, boogie. Let's rock, you don't stop, rock the rhythm that will make your body rock. Well, so far, you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out. I'm the CAS and the OB. And the rest is FLY. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why. You see, I'm 6'1", and I'm tons of fun, and I dress to a tee. You see, I got more clothes than Muhammad Ali, and I dress so viciously. Everybody go, hotel, motel. What are you gonna do today?
Say what?
Because I'm a headline dude, and I get some spanky drive off, and the F.O.J. Everybody go, hotel, motel, holiday, in. Say, if your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend.
So, yeah, that was from the Jimmy Fallon show. That, check it out. It is really, really good.
I enjoyed it personally, or at least the two clips that I watched from it. If you're a Kristen Wiig fan, she was on two nights ago. Oh, my gosh.
Jerry Seinfeld, a lot of big people. A lot of people, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, who are sick of Jay Leno. And he actually is kind of hated in the comic. Not hated, but there is some animosity. You should read a book called Late Night Wars that deals with him and Conan and that whole rivalry. One, a really good book.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
And then
I'm a pop culture noob. Who did Jimmy Fallon take over for?
Jay Leno.
Where did Conan Jay Leno go?
He's retired. So Jay Leno retired. Conan took over for him. And Jay Leno's like, no, I want to come back.
Oh.
And then Conan's like, well, I'm
is that where the
TBS.
Feud started?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also comedy. It's like a 400-page book. Anyway.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
That's a lot of conflict.
Yeah. Well, and it's about the comedy world. But the next big news is the cast for the new Fantastic Four movie has been set. And I don't know if you've heard the controversy, but Michael B. Jordan is cast as the Human Torch. He is African-American. The character was traditionally Caucasian. and people are freaking out.
Gotta love America.
Yeah, it's kind of awful how people are reacting, but I'm That's sure terrible. He'll do a good job. He was really good in the movie Chronicle, which I'll be suggesting later, and for my reasons. You can check that out on Canadian Netflix. But it's not only him. There is Miles Teller. He'll be the Mr. Fantastic. Kate Mara. She is the Invisible Woman. And Michael Jordan. And then Jamie Bell will be the Thing. It should be good. That is being handled by Fox. That's actually, besides X-Men, that's the only two franchises they own that are superhero. They have lost most of them, and they reverted back to Marvel.
Oh, interesting.
And last but not least, but Neil Patrick Harris is, he's endorsing his favorite sleep-inducing beverage. It's called NeuroSleep. It's like a kind of like an energy drink, but the opposite of it.
Okay.
And the video is directed by the guy who did Thrift Shop.
Oh, wonderful.
It's pretty funny. It makes fun of R&B in the funniest way. And I'm going to play just a very, very short portion of it.
When I get into bed at night, I dim the lights till the mood's just right. I wanna sleep, just wanna sleep, 'cause nothing soothes me.
Okay, and we just got actually some notes from Cody, but I'll address that later. But yeah, check that out. I know I need that product for sure. Friends of me know I suffer from insomnia. Maybe you will help.
Maybe. I suffer from the opposite of insomnia. I fall asleep everywhere. That's what I have. I have narcolepsy, I think. Like a mild form of narcolepsy.
You should not have a driver's license.
Kind of.
Or eat soup.
Mm-hmm. Eat soup?
Yeah, you'll drown in it.
In soup?
Yeah.
That's so morbid, Riley.
That's the worst way to go.
If I fall asleep, I don't fall asleep forward. I fall asleep to the side.
Well, okay, later on I'll be going over celeb birthdays and just some suggestions, but we have a very special guest in the house, probably the second best looking male in this room, Steven.
Next to me.
Josh LaFever. Yes. And here he is.
Josh, how the heck are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Wonderful, we're so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me come.
Now, we do have a couple questions for you.
Yeah, so first, though, just tell us a little bit about ourselves. About yourself. Not ourselves. Yourself. That
tell
was
us
weird.
Everything you assume about our lives.
Yeah, what do you think about us? That's the real question. No, we're
wonderful.
Not that narcissist.
Oh,
here. Tell
wow,
us about yourself.
Brownie points.
We'd love to hear it.
So I'm Josh LaFever from Kaysville, Utah.
That's a nice place.
Yes, I love it. I love the outdoors, doing mountain biking and wakeboarding especially.
Oh, how interesting.
I did soccer and wrestling, and then came up here to Utah State, which is the best school.
Amen.
Ever.
So why Utah State?
Well, I didn't want to go to that school down south. Absolutely.
We have a strong dislike for that school in this studio, so you are welcome here.
Yes.
That.
And it just felt right. I felt home and like I was part of the family up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Utah State's awesome. So moving into more of your campaign, so what qualities and like skill sets do you have that would make you a good president of USU USA?
That's a great question, because as president, it is good to have familiarity with the university and how it's run so you can better guide it and direct it. I've been involved with a lot of things from the Executive Board, Student Alumni Association, doing those networking and traditions that you see around campus,
nice.
As well as helping start up clubs and that sort of thing. And working with Doug this past year on his president's cabinet, been able to see the inside loop of how student government works.
So you have a lot of administrative experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so you going along with that, you mentioned on your candidate profile that you want to ensure more direct input, and you talk about installing key campus organizations as non-voting members on academic and executive council as appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Like what, like explain that more to me, and how does that work?
Yeah, so we always talk about, or presidential candidates, about getting students involved. And over the past 3 years, my voice has come out and been worked on. I want to take that a step further and put those large organizations like the Housing Association, or RHA, the Greek president, IFC, interfaith presidents, put those all as non-voting members on executive council that can propose legislation and debate topics so we get direct feedback from the students of those various organizations on campus.
That sounds like a really unique idea. That could be very helpful. And then you also, going along with that, you mentioned that you want to encourage more administrative support.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you plan to do that as well?
That's cool. I'm sure as students we've noticed some years there's really great activities in your college or club, and then next year it falls apart or doesn't happen. So what I want to do is optimize that connection, especially with my experience with Student Alumni Association setting up the True Blue Pledge and planning events. Most of the time, administrators have no idea what we're doing. And so we do something like, oh, we would have supported that. So I'm going to create the program where we can submit what we're doing, kind of like a pre-form. This is what it is, to administrators or deans and department heads. And in return, have follow-up from them to ask us how it went, and it can be stored and used from year to year. And that way, not only are administration aware of what we're doing, we've also trained them about what students' goals are, and they can work with us to make it successful.
So kind of more of a systemized way of making sure that students and administration are on the same team, essentially.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. That sounds well, awesome, Josh. Thank you so much for coming. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know about you or your campaign?
Well, I love USU, and I think it's the best. And I feel like it's important that students take the time and consider the objectives of different candidates, whether they're returning or new. Whatever the students feel is best for the university is what I hope pans out in the election.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I do have one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you support a 24-hour computer lab here in the TSC?
Yes. That okay. would have saved my bacon many times.
Okay. Well, that is it. And where can we learn more about you?
You can check out my Facebook page, Josh LeFevre, as well as the videos and the profiles online at usu.edu/USUSA.
Okay. And good luck in the upcoming election.
Thank you.
And put an egg on it.
Thanks.
That's my new catchphrase.
So that's staying your new catchphrase.
It is staying. I made it accidentally, but I like it.
Okay. I am so happy that that's going to be your catchphrase. Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, up next, we are going to have a list of just what is happening on campus this week. But that will be after this next song. Float On, it's a Pickin' On series. Basically, it's a bluegrass version of the Modest Mouse song.
Oh, no.
We'll all float on, all right. Already we'll
why I picked shorts. Oh my goodness, Riley, what was that?
That was Float On, originally by Modest Mouse, but it was a bluegrass version.
Well, I prefer the original.
Okay.
I don't know, it was nice and calming.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people should always try different types of music. I used to not like bluegrass.
You play bluegrass every week, Riley.
No, I've played folk, and I've played... There's a big difference. Everything with a guitar isn't rock.
I guess, you know, I do correct people when they, like, combine trap and dubstep and electronic and call it all the same thing, so...
Oh, gosh, that's overwhelming.
Well, the next one is... The next song I play will be vastly different, but, what... Okay, I'm bored, I'm on campus, what can I do?
Okay, there is a lot going on. So tomorrow we have Andy's Lincoln Night at the Riverwoods Conference Center. Tickets are $25 for student, and the former curator of the Lincoln Museum will be there with Sean Reyes and Spencer Cox, Attorney General and Lieutenant Governor. And then also on Friday, if you want to see some real fun, Cody, Riley, and actually myself will be competing in the Ethics Bowl, basically just a ethical debate in the business building. So come and watch that. On Saturday, the 22nd, we have a chili cook-off at the Junction. $5 entrance fee. It's a fundraiser, so go out and support.
So, can I win something at this chili cook-off? Does it say?
No, Cody, he was so quick to leave the show, he didn't leave me any good notes on that.
What
I apologize.
What a jerk, Cody!
Your form of monster, either Pokemon or Digimon, is horrible, Cody. I'm just going to say it.
Whichever one it was.
Yep.
Totally forgot.
But can you sample the chili?
It doesn't say that either. I mean, Cody really.
I assume they'll have little like cups you can shots.
Probably. I mean,
ooh, chili shots. That's an idea.
Ooh,
that'd be good.
Put that idea on Kickstarter.
Chili shots. Okay, sounds good. So also, after you have your chili shots, you can go to the men's basketball game. It's against Fresno State at 7 p.m. Wear your Aggie Radio t-shirt for a free high five. Wow, we are just well-funded here at Aggie Radio. Okay. So, and then Monday, 24th, we have the Miss American Indian USU Celebration. Come celebrate Native American culture as demonstrated by various individuals of different tribes. Enjoy cultural presentations by members of Native American Student Council and Miss American Indian USU 2014-2015.
Oh, wow. So she... That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
And what's more is, you know, this always gets us college students. Refreshments are served. They didn't specify, though, but I'm assuming it's something authentic since it's the Native American culture celebration.
What exactly do Native American, what is, like, their culture food that they eat? Do you know?
Oh, gosh.
Not tomatoes.
Super Americanized, like, Navajo tacos, but that's probably
That's just a thing in Utah, by the way. No one else knows what a Navajo taco is outside of Utah.
Yeah, well, it's called fry bread, and... It's pretty good.
But, like, putting hamburger and chili...
Oh, no, you don't do that.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of...
My dad lived on the reservation for 2 years, so he makes super good food.
Oh,
yeah.
So he probably knows more. What does he eat?
Well, the Navajo, and maybe this is just what they ate in the 70s when he was there, but a lot of sheep.
Oh, wonderful. I don't know if I've ever eaten lamb.
It's really good. It soaks up the spice real good.
Huh. How interesting. Wonderful. Well, you know, we can't vouch for that for sure being there, but go ahead and go check it out and get back to us. Let us know what you ate at the Miss American Indian USU celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So just a quick couple other events to finish up. On Tuesday the 25th, we have the number one key to success in school and life, a seminar.
Do you know what it is, or did they keep it a secret?
That's the thing, is they did keep it a secret. They just, all they said is studies show
I gotta
that
go now. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, they just said that studies show that one factor leads to success in school and work. It's in the TSC, 315A, from 2 to 3 p.m., and again, that's Tuesday the 25th. Find out how
that's pretty
to
easy.
Be successful. And then, following up after that, Wednesday the 26th, women's basketball at 7 against New Mexico.
And we've been doing pretty good. That's what Jeff from Sports says.
Mm-hmm. Jeff from Sports.
And
love
he's
him.
He's our sports expert, so I'll trust him.
Me as well.
Awesome. And then finally, on the 27th, as always, come listen to the show at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And maybe, if we're lucky, we'll talk Cody into coming back.
I don't think so.
Or we can just never let him come back.
That's true. The whole Pokemon thing, that's just wrong.
It just makes me so angry.
It's okay, Riley.
Angry that you cry.
I'm feeling a lot of emotions here.
Okay. You should probably feel some emotions. I don't know when the last time that I cried was.
Oh.
No, crying's for babies. Mm-hmm. We don't need it.
I don't believe in emotions.
Okay, well, we'll have one more song on, and I will come back and tell you what you should be listening to and watching and stuff. Basically, we call it Riley's Recommends.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, and this song was chosen by our own very Rochelle. Oh. It's Have You Ever by Brandy. Never Say Never, right?
Brandy Carlisle, but...
It just says Brandy on Spotify.
That is scary. Let's hope that this is the same song that I'm thinking of.
We'll see. Anyway, here we go. Apparently not the song. We're going to do this one, If You Don't Want to Love Me by James Morrison. So that was If You Don't Want to Love Me by James Morrison. And hey, you can't argue with that. He seems sad about a lot of stuff.
Yep, but it's a good song to listen to if you're having one of those really bad, just like, oh, my heart hurts moments.
Yeah, I have a good one. It's called Another Love by Tom O'Dell.
Ooh.
Very, very raw.
Very raw. Is it like scary? Does he scream in it?
No. But
that's good.
It's basically saying, I want to love you, but... I've loved so many, like, I'm done with love. I wasted it all on someone else.
Oh, so that's sad.
It's part of my famous playlist, Burned Out, which I listen to.
Follow Riley on Spotify.
Yeah. I actually have a lot of cool playlists. But now we're talking about dating.
Ooh,
that was a good segue, huh?
Yeah,
balance.
It was, actually.
I've had worse.
Ooh, that wasn't even planned.
Yeah. But dating, and the topic today is texting.
Ugh, hate texting.
So text messaging was invented back in the 80s. Basically, it's like a small telegram from phone to phone.
Thank you, Riley.
And when is it appropriate to text?
For me, can I give my short
answer? I want to hear your two cents.
Okay, we all give our 2 cents.
So, I hate texting to get to know a person. I think that in the beginning phases, before you know a person, you should text as little as humanly possible, because there's so much that you need to learn about a person that you can only learn face to face. For example, their mannerisms. Like, I don't know, I have so many things that I say that are weird, and like I talk with my hands and I have these crazy facial expressions and I have a lot of weird sayings.
I thought you were just doing sign language this whole time.
Oh, we are friends. You are beautiful. But no, I just think that texting should not be incorporated into a relationship very early on. It's fine to do things like to coordinate, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, let's meet up and see each other later, things like that. But you can also do phone calls for that. I just think that texting can come in later in a relationship when it's like well established, but you really shouldn't rely on texting early on to start your relationship.
No, I totally agree.
And then when you're actually on the date too, it's so impressive to me when a guy can actually just leave his phone somewhere that he doesn't have to babysit
so
it the whole time. I mean, if you have to answer, really, a text is never, have you guys ever had that urgent of a text? I mean, phone calls maybe, but a text really, really, nobody's going to text you if they're in jeopardy. So there's no reason.
Or just
you should
do
have to respond
it super
to a text.
Quick. Be like, sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah, excuse yourself.
I mean, obviously there's an exception for everything, but try not to.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mean, if it's your mom and she's upset, I don't know, some crazy circumstance like that.
Right.
Then sure, but don't make a habit of it by all means.
Now, what if it's your dad?
Dads
My
don't
dad,
count.
I always have to text him back or call him back, because in high school, if he was in a funky enough mood and like I wasn't texting him back or calling him back, he would call Verizon and shut off my cell phone service.
Oh,
so
wow.
I've gotten into the habit now. I will almost always answer a phone call from my dad if I'm available, and I will text him back almost immediately.
Yeah.
But that's just because my dad's a little nutty. Love you, Dad.
That's great.
Me and him would differ on parenting styles, but that's all right. Now, texting, I see, like, there's, what, like, three types of text. One's, like, the nothing text. It's like,
hey,
what up?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you love spaghetti?
I don't even respond to those. Those are awful.
Whatever. They have their purpose. They exist.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Number two type of text, there's, like, the planning text.
Yes.
I think everyone should answer immediately.
I agree.
But really, though, a lot of the times in planning, it takes like 20 texts when you could have just had a 2-minute phone conversation.
So
no,
true.
No, I agree. But it's good for groups, you know.
Sure, we'll give you that.
Yeah, but no, I agree. I'm a talker. That's why I'm on the radio. So people
Amen.
Mean.
Aren't we all, though?
Yes.
Yeah, but no, definitely. And then there's the third type, which is like the inquisitive text, which I agree. I think it is kind of weird.
The questioning, like,
yeah.
Hey.
I don't text a ton, I'm not going to lie. I mainly just do it to plan,
mm-hmm.
or like sometimes flirt a little.
Yeah, oh, I think that like texting is great for like if you find a funny picture and it's like, hey, look at this funny picture, I'm going to send it to you. Like you're not going to send it in an email or like, I don't know, especially if you can't see your person like a lot on a daily basis, you know. It's great to have texting as a form of communication.
Yeah,
be like,
or
hey,
you just have a funny thought. And
exactly. And you can just send a little blurb. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
So speaking of funny thoughts, though, how do you guys feel about emoticons and texts? Because I am an offender of a multitude of smileys, just because I feel
I
like if I
don't... I would say one per text is my...
One per text.
Man, I have so exceeded that. I feel like if I don't include a smile at least every other line, I'm either grouchy or going to come across as just deadpan. But I guess that's not the case.
See, I'm actually the exact opposite. It is so rare for me to use emoticons in text. And that's just because... I feel like when people know me, they can hear the ebb and flow of my excitedness, and I use a
ebb
lot of exclamation
flow? Who's that?
Points. Ebb and flow.
Oh.
So also known as prosodic cues and things like that, but I didn't, you know, want to overload your brain with all my speech pathology jargon.
Yeah.
Sorry, Riley.
Well, you know, I'll just No, I'm not going to throw marketing terms at you. I'm not that mean. but no, definitely, when you're texting, don't, I think, okay, so here's a scenario. You go on a date, and it went pretty well. Let's just say, we'll assume it went well.
Oh, are you talking about the after date text?
Yeah, when do you send it?
I think it's different for every single person. I don't think there's a science to it.
It went, let's say it was a 7 out of 10, which is pretty good.
Yeah, for you, that's pretty good.
7 out of 10, that's impressive.
That's like the date, you know. And I'm not going on a grading scale. I'm using a regular scale.
When I got
some girls here. I got to get your advice. When should I send the text?
Wait for her to send it.
I wouldn't overthink it. Just send it when you feel natural. If you're really happy at the moment, just send it. I think it's silly that text makes us play all these silly little social games with each other.
That's so true, because I could give you, like, all these rules that I've been told over the last couple of months. Like, you should kiss by the third date, or, you know, wait 3 days to text, or, like, all these stupid little rules. Don't follow them, because that makes dating a game, and it doesn't make it real. It makes it a game.
Sounds like a script.
Exactly. So if you, I totally agree with what Ashley said. Like, if you're feeling it, then send her a text. But if you're wanting to gauge her interest, then maybe wait to see if she sends one. But the thing is, like, I'm not really an after date text person. I only do that if I really want to pursue a guy. Just like, oh my gosh, I have to make sure I send an after date text so that he asks me on another date.
And usually, I wait for the text. I find that's a nice way of a girl saying, yeah, I'm interested or I'm not.
Exactly.
But yeah, definitely text. Don't freak out about it. And I'd say, you know, sometimes if a guy doesn't text you back, this happens to me all the time. Maybe it's because I'm so scatterbrained. But they'll text like, hey, you haven't texted forever. I'm like, no, I texted you, and then I look at my phone, and there's a text all written up.
But you haven't been sent.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, definitely check that out. Right now, we'll have another song. This one was picked by Ashley. It's called Chasing the Light by Matt Kearney. And when we come back, we're going to have a bullfighter, right? Bullpen?
Straight from Spain, yes.
Mm-hmm. No. It's a creative...
I like that. Club.
Let's just listen to you sing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my gosh. Our ratings are dropping like
oh, shoot.
Definitely we will have that. Creative Writing Club. I like stories. I like stories that aren't boring, so I assume I'd like them creative. And here we go with Chasing Thoughts by Matt Kearney from the album Young Love. This is Aggie Radio for the students by the students.
Down by the door and 10 pounds heavier from wasted time. We didn't know we were way out of line. From the moment that you popped out on the scene, hard to know what you got or you're meant to be. Everything that you know goes flying. From Johnny O's couch to Gypsy Bus Island. Holding hands with people in life to walk away saying no goodbyes. And you keep saying that you're running down a dream, but you don't know where it leads. But you keep chasing in the fallout holiday. On my knees with the weight that was mine. Think about you when I'm driving at night. Familiar sounds and it takes me right back there. Bridge Street and the beat in the summer air. Was it easier to wash your feet? Never deal with the hell that a young boy sees. Where liquor runs thicker than blood. On your own push came to shove. Before we have these mouths to feed with innocent dreams. Why you keep chasing?
Every day is that you keep on burning. Every
Okay, so we're on now with Millie. And where she isn't running for USUSA president, she is the president of the Bullpen, the creative writing club here at Utah State.
Whoop, whoop.
So, Millie, tell us a little about what the Bullpen is. What do you guys do? When and where do you meet?
Okay. So the Bullpen is officially USU's creative writing club, but it's open to all students of all majors that write anything, fiction, nonfiction, or poetry. And we meet every Monday at 3:30 in Old Main 207, 3:30 to 4:30. Basically, we just workshop each other's work and give feedback, and we have, like, professors and guest speakers come in. We actually have authors come and talk to us about career options and publishing and things like that, so it's really fun.
Well, that's awesome.
That's great. Creative writing was always my favorite part of English growing up. I hated all the other kinds of writing, but creative
writing was so fun.
Yeah, there's clearly a lot for students to gain from being a part of this club. And so outside of, like, the actual club meetings, what events have you guys done so far this year?
We actually, along with the English Honors Society, we did a bad love poetry night, like, the week of Valentine's Day. And it was really, really fun. We had food and games and stuff and writing games. And then we had an open mic section where people performed their bad love poetry.
That's
and that
awesome.
Was so fun. It was really, really funny. So we're going to hopefully do that again next year. But all of our events are open to non-English majors, too. Like next week, on Monday, we have Jesse Parent, who's a professional slam poet, coming to talk to us.
Interesting.
Yeah. So a slam poet is like a spoken word poet. And lots of times it's like political or angsty. And they're really fun to watch. Like, it's really crowd involved. So he'll be in the Kane Room in Family Life at 3:30 on Monday.
Awesome. Well, as somebody who also attended the Bad Poetry Night, that was awesome. And we have some amazingly creative individuals here at Utah State,
yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
And there's always a wide variety of the things that people come up with.
It's so true. Even, like, if you're sitting at, like, Poetry and a Beverage, pardon me, and you're just, like, listening to all these people, some of them get up there and they almost rap their poetry, you know, it's way cool. And then there are other people who get up there and just swear up a storm, and I swear they're just up there to, like, get a rise out of the students or have them sit there going, like, is this really necessary? You know, it's, like, great to see that wide variety.
There's always so much. And, like, the cool thing about the Bullpen, too, is that it doesn't matter what kind of writing you like to do, like, we have people come in with tons of different stuff all the time, and it's really fun.
Well, that's so neat.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else we need to know about the Bullpen or upcoming events?
Jesse Parent is going to be our big event, and again, that's Monday at 3:30, and he's going to be so fun to watch. Like, he'll be really cool. But we also have, for Helicon West, which is Logan's open mic night, which is the second and fourth Thursdays of every month at the Logan Library, the Bullpen is in charge. We're the featured speakers on March 27th. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's not February 27th. But and we're going to be doing some spoken word poetry, so that'll be really fun.
Now, people may not know this about me, but I am a business major. How would you sell it to me, someone who's not really a poet guy?
Basically, whatever your major is, writing and being a good writer is a huge, important life skill. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
For just communication, like, improving your writing improves anything you have to write for the rest of your life, and there's no way you're gonna not write anything for the rest of your life. Like, the more influential you can be, or the better you can convey what you need to convey, or your own emotions, like, the more, not power, but I mean, the more influence you can have that way.
Well, that's definitely true. That sounds awesome. Maybe back in high school, I took a creative writing class. I wrote a short novella about a guy who worked in an office. And this creative writing, this is my bone to pick with your guys' major. She came in and she critiqued our stories, and she wrote, "This is the worst story I've ever read." And I was like, never again.
No!
She discouraged you.
I guess.
Might be because of your grammar, though, Riley.
Here's how my grammar works. If it doesn't sound right, I just rewrite it. And then it sounds right, and usually that's on me.
I mean, it's not perfect, but that's a decent rule of thumb. Maybe
I've taken all my Englishes and gotten A's with that rule.
Maybe it's just every creative writing major's fear is to, like, work in an office. So maybe you were just, like, feeding on her subconscious anxiety.
Office is pretty exciting. Well,
that's like my worst fear is like working in a cubicle. So.
Awesome. All right.
Okay. Well, now we are going to have a quiz, actually. No, we're going to have a song. Yes, we're going to have a song. I was just looking at the time and we need to fill. And we are going to have a song. This one was picked by me. It's from the new Lego movie. Now, have you any of you guys seen this yet?
No, but I'm going to with my nephew and I'm so excited.
So cool.
I heard it was so funny.
I heard that it's fabulous.
It's called Everything is Awesome, and it's about the only song that plays in the movie. It plays most of the movie.
Awesome. Now, wasn't all the music composed by, like, Nate from Fun and a couple other people?
Though? Well, maybe the scoring was, but there's only one song in it.
Oh.
There's just one song in the whole movie?
Yeah, like, that song.
That's fantastic.
I mean, there were scoring songs and stuff.
Right.
There was two. There's one by Batman where it's just him screaming he's an orphan. He's like, darkness, I'm sad. it's really funny. This one was so it was written by the Lonely Island, and you'll hear them rap.
My gosh! Yes.
And the lyrics are Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, that's who.
That's really cool.
So yeah. Anyway, here we go with Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie. Okay, so that was Everything is Awesome, and, I think everything is.
Riley, though, I think if I had to hear that song a lot, or for any extended period of time, I might do bad things.
Might drive you crazy.
Yeah, it might lead me to psychotic mess if I had to hear everything.
Oh, I heard bad things. I was like, don't watch Duck Dynasty, it's horrible. Okay, so our Rachel has our quiz, but what do we always listen to before our quiz, Rachel?
Oh, this is the...
Anyway, here's the quiz theme.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble! Y'all ready for this?
All right, Millie, y'all ready for this?
Probably not.
So let's explain to you kind of what happened. So
okay.
We have different clubs on the guests, or we have different clubs as guests on the show every week, and we learn all this wonderful information about them, but then we want to see how much they really know. So,
oh gosh.
And they're always a little off.
Just a little bit. And just so you know, what's on the line here is our respect. So basically,
and you a t-shirt.
Oh, and a t-shirt.
I get a t-shirt?
And if you win.
I want to win.
If you do well.
An Aggie Radio t-shirt.
An Aggie Radio t-shirt. So basically how it works is if you get all three questions right, you get our respect and a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. If you get two questions right, you like get some of our respect, but you still get a full t-shirt. If you don't get at least two questions right, then you don't earn our respect.
I lose my own respect.
Yes, and then if you get zero, we hate you.
Okay.
So
there is actually a lot at stake here.
That's a big deal.
But I mean, Ashley and Millie are friends, so you guys can still remain friends after this, even if Riley and I hate you.
I don't know. I think that it might be on the stake for us too, Millie. So you know,
we're roommates, so that can get messy.
I might write like hateful poems and send them to you.
Post them on the Facebook.
Roses are red. I hate you. Bye.
Okay, so your club is called the Bullpen, yes?
Yes.
Now, are you aware that there is something else called the Bullpen in professional baseball? You don't have to tell me what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's basically a part on the field where relief pitchers warm up. So, you know how
batting cages,
normally there's kind of like something right next to it where they'll pitch.
Yeah, they'll pitch into a net.
So, we're going to ask you three questions about the bullpen, pitchers, and baseball.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, get two out of three correct. You'll win our prize.
Okay.
Question number one. Which one of these is the most likely reason for where the bullpen gets its unusual name? So, is it A, the bullpen houses the bulls that are about to go to slaughter? Relief pitchers often feel the same way as they warm up. B, at the turn of the century, outfield fences were often adorned with advertisements for Bull Durham brand of tobacco. Since relievers warmed up in a nearby pen, the term bullpen came about. Or C, latecomers to ball games in the late 19th century were cordoned off into standing room areas in foul territory. Because the fans were herded like cattle, this area became known as the bullpen, a designation which was later transferred over to the relief pitchers who warmed up there. So I'll review them really fast before you have to answer.
Okay.
So basically the first one was like houses bulls that are about to go to slaughter, and that's how the pitchers feel.
Right.
B is the tobacco and the advertisements and the signs. And then C is where the fans were like corralled like cattle.
I'm going to go with B.
Ooh. Uh-oh, guys.
What?
Did she get it?
It was actually A.
No!
So, if the bullpen houses the bulls that are about to go to slaughter, relief pitchers often feel the same way as they warm up.
Okay.
Okay. I believe in you for this one.
You can still win.
You can still win. I can turn around. Just need to change my attitude.
Okay.
I need to change my attitude.
Which one of these is not an actual baseball pitch? A, two-seam fastball. B, the junk pitch. C, screwball, or D, a riser?
Okay, I know a screwball is a real one. So what were the other three?
You got a junk pitch,
a
two-seam fastball, and a riser.
I'm going to say two-seam fastball is made up.
Oh, no.
No! Oh, this is so hard.
The riser is actually the one that's not a real baseball pitch. Two-seam fastball, junk pitch, and screwball are actually all real baseball pitches. Weird, huh? Yeah,
so you've gotten two questions wrong. I now hate you. Rachel hates you.
Well, no. Remember, she just loses. If she can still make it where we don't hate her.
But we just dis...
You just don't respect me.
She's just furniture.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just there.
I'm just an object.
This is getting stressful now.
I know.
Okay, how about which troubling. Famous country music singer is the son of a famous baseball pitcher?
Ooh.
A, Taylor Swift. B, Tim McGraw. C, Martina McBride. D, Donna the Twangs Matthews. Or E, Tim's dad, Tugs McGraw, is a Hall of Fame. What?
Oh, I'm going to go with Tim McGraw.
Yes, you got it right.
Cody put it on as an answer, not like the highlight.
That's maybe. Actually, I was leaning towards that or Martina McBride.
That's good
so.
Because the question definitely said which famous country music singer is the son of a famous baseball
oh,
pitcher.
Oh yeah, so it would have been.
Oh wow, a lot of contextual
clues. Martina McBride.
Okay, so we are now ambivalent to you,
that's
but
okay.
There are others who may not be so.
The T-shirt, right?
No.
No.
That's not up to me. That's up to Cody.
Oh,
if he ever comes back.
T-shirt maybe.
Just like give
Cody
him a
back.
Little wink.
I'll just like.
We'll see. We'll see. And yeah. I. No, but honestly, where can once more a plug of how we can get involved and what to expect.
Okay, so the bullpen is open to any USU student who likes creative writing and has some writing maybe that they want looked at, or you can just come and hang out and listen to other people's work. But it's every Monday at 3:30 in Old Main 207, goes to 4:20, except next Monday we're going to be in the Kane Room, which is in Family Life at 3:30.
Ooh,
because we
I
have
like that room.
Oh, it's beautiful, but we aren't allowed to have cookies in there, but you should still come because we have a professional slam poet coming and it'll be really fun.
Oh wow, definitely. And you guys won't be as mean as that person was to me in high school?
No. Oh. Not unless you write only about, like, cubicles. And then, you know, who knows? I can't control
well,
everybody.
Well, he just got the corner office. It's kind of a promotion.
Oh.
Anyway. But, no, definitely I'll check. We'll check that out. And like us on Facebook. Post it to our wall.
Okay, you know? Sounds good.
Okay, and thank you so much, Millie.
Yeah, thank you for having
me. Coming up, I believe we are going to have... Oh, coming attractions. No, we'll have other news by Rachel. So Rachel's going to tell us about some stuff. And yeah, anyway, here is her intro. And thank you so much, Millie. Live from Logan, Utah, is the news with Rachel Ilton. She will tell you about why we should care and who exactly is Benghazi.
What if I don't actually know who Benghazi is?
It was a thing. It's controversial. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay, thanks, Riley. Okay. So, last week we kind of talked a little bit about the Count My Vote initiative and things like that. Andy told us kind of what we should think about it, some things to be wary of. There was another article this week posted or printed in the Salt Lake Tribune giving us a little bit more information about kind of the political things that are going on. So what the headline of the story is, "Don't Play Games with Count My Vote Initiative," which is kind of threatening. I don't know. What do you think, guys? I'm just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
So, Governor,
I can't tell if it goes either way.
That's true. Governor Gary Herbert is the one that kind of gave out this caution to the people of Utah, and they just said, you know, he's cautioning them, don't play games with them, you know, kind of be straight about it. He said, to quote, "I'm also concerned about the legislature saying to the people, under their constitutional right to have an initiative petition, that we are going to anticipate what you're going to do and consequently be perceived to be gaming the system to thwart the will of the people." So I think that's been a big concern because, you know, Utah is such a conservative state that everyone's been trying to think like, okay, well, since if we can move from like a caucus to a primary, then maybe it gives a larger voice to those who are, you know, of more maybe of a liberal party, things like that.
Or maybe help gerrymandering, which is a real big problem
mm-hmm.
in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like
so
they've divided the more progressive parts and then they chunk them on to a huge other part.
Mm-hmm. So that's so true. And that's a huge issue. So that's kind of what they're talking about, is just saying, you know, don't make it seem like this is an initiative to try to, you know, give an advantage to other parties. We're still trying to give everyone a fair chance. But Senator Kurt Bramble, who is obviously one of our state senators, he started a petition, not necessarily a petition, but like a, you know, an act, things like that, called SB 54, and it incorporates the Count My Vote initiative in its entirety. but it also provides parties a way to circumvent the primary process if they meet certain requirements for their caucus convention process, such as absentee voting for delegates, adopting rules that would lead to more primaries, and opening primary elections to unaffiliated voters. So that's huge for me because, I mean, personally, I'm unaffiliated, so I don't really get to participate in any form of primary or caucus or things like that.
Yeah.
So this would be great. And so it's cool because it takes the caucus and it gives more power for people to get involved in caucuses, as well as it just kind of is a way to try and get more voters involved because Utah does not have a good voter turnout. Just a couple other things about it. They said that Count My Vote is hoping to increase voter participation in its elections, but there has been no indication direct primaries would achieve that goal. You know, so if someone isn't going to show up to a caucus, are they going to show up to a primary? You know, that's kind of one of the concerns that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing about it is this group has raised $1.12 million and they've spent $1.08 million of it. So, you know, they're spending it on the people who are running their booths, different things like that. And it's definitely that, to me, that's a lot of money. It's crazy.
Well, definitely. So we'll see how it pans out, if it passes or not.
Definitely. That'll be interesting. And it will change the face of voting in Utah, just because it'll be able to reach out to more people. So it's not just Count My Vote. It's the SB 54 initiative that they're trying to get going here. In other Utah news, there was a student that was almost kidnapped at the University of Utah, guys. Ooh. So this is kind of an interesting story. There were two girls, two kidnappers, who it was about 11:20 p.m., and this girl's 19 years old.
Oh, scary.
Right? And so she's walking through the parking lot by the dormitories, and this white Camry or Corolla, they said, is driving through the parking lot, and this girl recognizes the car, and she's like, oh my gosh, my friends. And then as the car gets closer, she looks into it and sees that she thinks that she sees it's a person that she knows, someone that's that is familiar. So she runs up to the passenger door to go say hi to them, and then the closer and closer she gets, she realizes that she does not in fact know the two men in this car.
To be fair, that is like the most common car there is.
It's so true. Like, it was white as well. I was looking at buying a Corolla or a Camry today, not gonna lie. But
I'm selling my Camry. I just bought a Corolla.
Really?
So, yeah.
So, would you recommend the Camry or Corolla, then?
If you're single, Corolla.
If you're single, Corolla.
Camry has a lot of space, so...
Does it? That's nice, though.
Big trunk, if you have a young family.
That's great.
Now let's get on the mileage, though.
But continuing with this almost kidnapped girl, poor thing, so they open the door, and they grab her arm, and they're about to pull her into the car. But then two people came around the dormitory building and it scared the kidnappers off. So she didn't end up getting kidnapped. Thank goodness, right?
You said that was on campus too, right?
At the dormitories.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
So all that she could describe them was as white males, that the one in the passenger seat had short blonde hair and a light blue dress shirt. And there's no surveillance footage of the parking lot to work from. So is really scary. So
sadly, they'll probably never be caught.
Exactly. So maybe what I'm hoping, maybe it was just a mutual confusion thing. Maybe she thought that she knew them, and maybe they thought that they knew
her. Well, they grabbed
her.
Mess
with her. I know.
People have a weird sense of humor.
Although,
though,
that's true.
It's true. Right. Especially college students.
Yeah, exactly. College students.
Gosh.
It was probably some weird fraternity thing.
Oh, I would so believe that, because fraternities are so much bigger up at the University of Utah. I was actually down in Salt Lake this weekend, and I drove up there frat row, and like, oh my goodness, it was just probably like 5 or 6 houses.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. How many do we have here?
I think we have 3 fraternities and 2 sororities, or do we have 4 fraternities? No, we have 4 fraternities and 3 sororities, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because there's, I know that there's 3
fraternities. There used to be one a few years ago, and then that one got shut down.
Gotcha. Because I know there's 2 sororities that have a house, and then there's one that doesn't, and then I'm pretty sure there's 4 fraternities that have a house, and there might be one that doesn't actually, now that I think about it.
I don't know. I've been asked, and I was like, I'm not a bro. I can't.
No.
Nope. I don't want to be like
you. Girls scare the crap out of me, so.
Oh, that's usually how it is for most guys. They're mainly scared of girls.
Girls scare you. Yeah, I don't know how to communicate with them.
Girls are more hostile sometimes.
Exactly, and I'm not a very hostile person, and I'm very anti-confrontation, so it's just kind of like, ah, don't look at me or talk to me. No, so, in final Logan news, the police found a box of cremated remains at First Dam.
Oh my gosh, what day was that?
February 18th.
So that was this week.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? They disturbed the box. What if this person just wanted to be left to rest at First Dam? Personally, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily.
No, it's pretty. Wait,
actually,
wait.
It's beautiful over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd pick Second Dam, honestly. I think
Second
it's better.
Second Dam, I'd be so down. Second Dam is beautiful. Not yeah. that I'm cremating guys, my guys, remains, but.
Official, if I die, cremate me and spread me. In Second Dam.
Oh, spread you in the dam. Oh.
You want us to sprinkle you into the
yeah,
dam?
Yeah, just like throw me.
That could poison our water.
No, it won't.
That might be bad.
That's not poisonous.
The whole program here with ag and all that.
Well,
that's true. It might influence.
You know what? It's my choice. So
it's your. That's right.
Oh, I guess if you write it in your will, we have to listen to it.
Or that's you right. could just be good people and do it anyway.
Or,
oh, geez.
Let's see, I would have to think about that now. If I were to be cremated, where would I want to be?
Yeah, what dam would you want to be spread on?
No, Tony Grove, do me there.
Tony Grove?
You been there?
I've tried once, and it was too snowy, we couldn't get up there. It was April, the end of April, guys.
Ooh.
What the heck? Let's see, but yes, so the police discovered this box, and, oh, actually it was so the box had a plastic bag in it, and it contained some ashes, and there was some tagging inside. So they think that they have identified who belongs to the remains, or I guess who the remains are.
Yeah.
But they are still trying to track down the family to be sure. Officers were unable to find like an obituary that would lead them to who this person is. But in the meantime, don't worry, guys. The box and its contents have been placed in the evidence room at the police department for safekeeping.
So that's their final resting place, is the evidence locker.
Yeah, the evidence room at the police department.
Sad.
Tank, First Dam, evidence room. That's so sad. But if you would like to claim the box, Curtis said family members can
maybe you just forgot it. We understand.
You know what? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens.
You just accidentally leave at Aunt Jenny at First Dam.
Aunt Jenny! No, yeah. So, yeah, if you'd like to claim the box, you can call the police department at 435-716-9300 and speak with Officer Andrew Solberg. And maybe don't harass them. It's probably not the best idea to speak ill of the dead or mess with the dead, especially their ashed remains.
Mm-hmm.
Ashed remains.
Well, definitely, yeah. And is that it?
I mean, let's see. What else did I have? Moral of the story, don't idle your car in Logan. They're trying to make it so that they can come and yell at you and ticket you for it. You know, in the winter months, we've got a crazy inversion problem. Just don't idle your car.
Well, and there's a lot of people, like my roommate's one of them. Not only does he not have a muffler, because he thinks that's cool, it isn't.
Ew, that makes the car louder, doesn't it?
Yep.
That's so vicious.
He's like, oh, I'm going to go turn on my truck. Turns on for like half an hour. He's like, it's probably melted off and goes.
For real?
Yeah,
for real. I don't have enough gas to do that. I'm poor as crap.
I don't know how he does it, but yeah, so don't do that.
I agree. And I don't know. There's a couple of people who say like it takes their car a long time to heat up. I understand that, but you know.
You just got to be cold.
Right? Like I wear a coat
life's
when
not
I'm
fair.
In my car.
Yeah, I have gloves because my steering wheel's like bone cold.
Mm-hmm. Leather. Yeah. It's the worst.
Well, we have the right song now. It's Have You Ever by Brandi Carlile from the album The Story. And then I'll be talking about upcoming attractions. And then we should have our incumbent or the current president after that.
Wonderful.
But more to come. This is Aggie Radio for the students, by the students. And this is Aggie Newsroom.
Everything that feels just as it should. You're part of a life there. You're part of something good. If you've ever wandered lonely through the woods. Ooh. If you've ever wandered lonely through the woods. Have you ever stared into a starry sky? I know. never stared into a starry sky. Been out walking in the snow, tried to get back where you were before. You always end up not knowing where to go. Have you ever been out walking in the snow?
Okay, well, I am back. Like I said, this is Aggie Newsroom for the students, by the students, and we're going to have what we call coming attractions. So that is just where I tell you, you know, what you can watch. It's kind of a combination of what we did a lot of last semester, things that are out, you know, on available to you that you can watch. We're all poor.
Very poor.
What about you, Ashley? Are you rich?
No.
You'll be making that English teacher money way soon. Yeah,
that's right. Actually, law school will drain me too, so.
Good luck with that.
She'll be making better money than both of us there, Riley.
Not me.
Not necessarily.
I'll probably make more than her.
What are you going into, Riley?
Okay. Business.
Marketing. That's right. Business.
Marketing. So, I'll make the bucks. No. Anyway, but there are some things. So in theaters, there's only one movie that's being called wide release. In a lot of movies, there's something called select release. We don't get those. Maybe on the Broadway in Salt Lake,
you'll
get
those. I was going to say, we get the select release that are like the LDS movies.
I don't like those. And I don't think that should be a factor on my faith either. I have a whole thing about Mormon culture versus religion, but I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
Let's just say they don't know how to make movies.
I don't know. The guy's bruise and the Saratov approach may or may not have made me laugh for about 5 minutes. Yeah. Literally took a purple paintbrush and they went and like just kind of.
Oh yeah, they don't have the protection behind it. And that's huge. You need to, anyway. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's coming out is Pompeii, which looks really dumb. The only highlight of it is the actor, the main hero, I guess you could say, is from Game of Thrones. He plays the character of Jon Snow, and he did a very good job there. I see him transitioning easily into this role, as it is also kind of a medieval role. So that is there. Hulu. Check it out. Portlandia. The newest season is coming out.
Ooh, what up?
Have you seen that, Rachel?
I've seen a couple episodes of Portlandia. I'm quite
never
fond
even heard
of it.
Of that.
It's funny. It's so produced by Fred Armisen from SNL. And his good friend, Emily Brown, who actually, she sings and she's really good at it too. But it kind of, they're in Portland, it's like a sketch show, really well done.
Very well done.
And it kind of makes fun of hipsters.
Yeah, it makes fun of like hipsters and just kind of Portland. And
I like, there's kind of like a normal looking guy in like a, you know, butt, like a collar t-shirt. And it shows on this bar and this guy with like gauges, he's like, this bar is over! And that guy just keeps showing up. He's like, Shellar is over. He sees him there. And it's really funny. Check that out. Redbox, Bad Grandpa's there. Now, that I would not recommend if you're faint of hearing. It is made by the producers of Jack A. But apparently it's really funny. And the cool thing is it's candid. And did you know that it is nominated for an Oscar?
Cool.
Bad Grandpa.
For best makeup. And I think it should win.
Because
he fooled real people. People thought he was this old guy doing stuff. I think if that's not the best makeup, what is?
Honestly.
Yeah. Also, Netflix. Now, I wrote a recent article that should be up soon. I'll have to talk to my producer about that. But I wrote an article, 5 Things to Avoid the Media Drought. Like I said, the only movie coming out was Pompeii. And That's a red box if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, it just looks really melodramatic, kind of cliche, typical story.
Also, Pompeii happened like in 20 minutes. Like, there wasn't
many.
I know,
how can you build much off of that? Just to,
cliche,
right. Tragedy.
But check out Canadian Netflix. I talked about it in my article. Check out Chronicle. Now, that does have Michael B. Jordan in it. He's also in the newest movie with Zac Efron. He's going to play the Human Torch. I talked about him earlier.
Oh, yes.
Chronicle's really good. It's kind of like a, not a found footage, but like a home footage. It's not super shaky, though. And these three teenagers get superpowers. It's like telekinesis. And they are actually really realistic with it. So they go, they go to the store. And there's like this kid, and they make the teddy bear chase after her. And she screams, and they're laughing, or they keep putting stuff in people's carts or making their carts. It's really well done. It is critically acclaimed, and I think it should have done better. Hmm. So check that out. That's kind of a hidden gem.
Cool.
And we all have birthdays. Or were you guys, like, pod grown?
No. I was birthed.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we have someone in the studio who was pod grown. Kevin?
Kevin, would you like to tell us about your development?
Yeah, they call me Kevbot.
I do.
Grown in a laboratory. 23 years in service.
How does that make you feel?
I don't feel anything.
Oh, that's right. You're a robot.
He's like Dexter. Or Texter. Yeah, Texter's that show about the serial killer who texts people.
What?
I have not heard
of that. I'm kidding.
Is this the same one with the secret laboratory?
No.
Because that would be
Dexter's. Oh, there is a Dexter. Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
I wasn't allowed to watch that growing up.
Okay, but I'm going to go over the birthdays, the celeb birthdays for this week. So today is Ellen Page's birthday.
She just came out.
Yeah, she came out. Good for her, you know, be who she is. Mm-hmm. She has done really good acting.
Mm-hmm, she has.
Even in video game arena, she did The Worth of Two Souls, which is almost like an interactive movie. She was amazing in that. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Drew Barrymore. Not great.
Drew.
She seems dumb to me. Like, she seems like not smart, and that sounds mean, but...
But think about how much richer she is than you.
That's true.
That's right. That.
But wealth
is. It doesn't matter
success.
If she's stupid, because she knows how to do well
Speaking
for herself.
Speaking of wealthy, on Sunday, no, today's birthday was Charles Barkley. Tomorrow is Ellen Page. Saturday is Drew Barrymore. Sunday, Dakota Fanning.
How old is she now? She's our age.
She's like our age. She's like...
Whoa.
I think she's 23.
Because I remember that she was going through Girl Scouts like the same time that I was.
Monday, if he was still alive, Steve Jobs. You know, rest in peace. But that was his birthday. Tuesday, Carrot Top. Not great.
Ugh, he is the bane of Las Vegas' existence.
I love what Norm Macdonald said. He did a movie once called Chairman of the Board, and Norm Macdonald said it should be spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Yeah.
He's
very, like, explicit. And then he just speaks
He's
really
loudly.
He's
prop comedy, which is garbage.
He's what comedy?
Prop comedy.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. Is it where you use props and you hope that you're funny?
Do you know who Carrot Top is?
Yes.
Yeah, all he does is prop comedy. He brings out a funny looking thing, a rubber check, and it's made out of rubber. And it's dumb.
That's awful.
Yeah. And Wednesday, Michael Bolton. So your moms are probably excited about that.
I wonder if my mom knows who that is. Should I text her and find out?
Yeah, I suppose so. But we will have, I guess, one more song as we wait for our incumbent to come in.
Doug Fia.
Yeah, well, I'll call him Doug. And we will be listening to...
We can listen to that Italian opera again, and you can just leave my mic on and I'll sing along with everybody.
Well, we'll do international. No, I will pick something for my chill out playlist. And... It will be Whale by Yellow Ostrich from the album The Mistridge. You guys are going to like this.
You liked Again, you played Whale. Yellow Ostrich last week.
Did I? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We will play Feeling Good by Muse, Origin of Symmetry. Really
Ooh,
good.
Love Muse.
Here we go. Muse, Feeling Good.
Flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Reeds drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's
It's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Alrighty, you are listening to Aggie Newsroom by the students for the students on Aggie Radio. We actually have Doug Fiafia in the studio with us right now. He is running for USUSA president and actually is running as an incumbent. So he's here. We're going to ask him a couple questions, kind of get to know him a little better. Let's see, Doug, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How's it going, Aggies?
Well, we're great.
Yeah, we're awesome. So, Doug, we know that you've been president, but tell us a little bit about yourself that maybe the student body doesn't know about you.
Let's see. I am a senior majoring in business administration. I'm a marketing minor. The youngest of five. My parents were born and raised in Tonga in the South Pacific. So I'm 100% Tongan, first generation college student.
Wow, that's impressive.
This is my fourth year up here, and I will be a fifth year senior.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Senior for life.
Yes.
So what positive differences during your presidency have you been able to make for students at USU? I know that your candidate profile talks about My Voice. How has that impacted your effectiveness?
I think the biggest thing with My Voice is creating a way that students could voice their concerns and suggestions. Before I was in office, that was kind of one of the biggest concerns and things I had a problem with, is that I had suggestions, I had concerns as a regular student, and I didn't know where to go. And frankly, as I took it up to student leaders, they didn't know where to take it. So there wasn't a process in place.
Mm.
And so with this process of My Voice, it's pretty clear any student can send in any concern, suggestion. And now the process is that student leaders meet with administration regularly. They send them to faculty, staff, and we get those answers back and give feedback back to the students. So they know that their voice counts and that they can make a difference here at Utah State.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic program. So on average, like, how many suggestions or concerns are you guys getting?
We probably average 10 to 15 a day.
Oh, wow.
We have, over the course of a couple of months now that it's been in place, we probably have received over 1,300.
Wow.
And we responded to and found answers, direct answers to probably around 900 right now.
That's
so
incredible.
We're just working through some. Some take a little bit longer because some are big mm-hmm. suggestions, big changes, and yeah. so those have to go through certain policies and procedures. So administration is working with us in order to get those changes. So
now, when you receive a suggestion, what kind of is the procedure that you take with each suggestion? Do you kind of divvy it up and everyone reviews different things and you vote on it, or how does that work?
So the biggest thing is we've split up executive council over different areas of campus. So we have people over parking, we have people over housing, people over academics, people, and then we have kind of like a other, kind of everything else. And so each, we have two officers over each category, and they meet with these administrators and faculty and staff that are over these areas. And so once we get a concern, we send it to them immediately so they kind of know what's going on, what's on the dock, and then we kind of discuss what can be changed, what's the policy, why is this happening, you know, why is this a concern for the student. And then if there's something that can be changed, it's changed. And if it's just a policy, if it's understanding the policy, we write back the student and help them understand why that policy is the situation it's in.
Well, that sounds like a great systemized way of going about that. And as far as other things that you've done throughout your term, let's just jump over to student loan interest rates. You helped lower those, I understand.
I did.
How did you do that? And as far as if you were reelected, how would you continue implementing that policy in the future?
So that was a big, huge campaign that was started by the student body president at Georgetown University. He contacted me, and we got a hold of it ended up being 240 student body presidents that came together. We met in Washington, D.C., and we lobbied on behalf of what we called the Don't Double My Rates campaign.
I remember that.
There's hashtag, there was a huge Twitter campaign. We all signed a petition that was written by the student body president at Georgetown, and it was published in Huffington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. We gained a lot of attention. It was on the news, on CNN. Certain student body presidents got to voice kind of their concerns. And so that's kind of what we did, and it doubled. It did double because Congress and the Senate couldn't agree on an issue. But then they decided to vote on it, and it did get back down. So we did make a difference. We kind of made some noise and got some national attention, and that's something that we'd like to continue. It's on a year kind of probation. They're going to relook at it for a year, and so we probably will have to do something similar this year.
Good to know.
Well, on behalf of the student body, thank you for those efforts. I know that I certainly appreciate those. And going along with other challenges that you've had during your time that you've served, like, what's been the biggest obstacle that you've had, and what's been your greatest accomplishment that you've had despite those obstacles?
I think the biggest obstacle, I don't know if you'd call it an obstacle, but the hardest thing for me during my term was the first day of school, losing one of our Aggies.
That was hard.
It was during kind of planning week of welcome activities, and there's a lot of students excited for events and to kind of go through that week. It was tough. It was a tragic accident. No one could control that, but it was something that we all dealt with. Mm-hmm. And it was tough to be kind of in that role. I was put in places where I had to make speeches to the family and to students.
Dear. Oh man, that's hard.
And you don't have practice for those kind of things.
No.
But frankly, it was something that helped me grow as a person. It was tough. And I knew Eric Anderson. I knew mm-hmm. him. We grew up together. We went to Bingham High School. We went to Elk Ridge Middle School. And so it was nice to be in that position to speak to his family and thank them for all that they had done, and for their son's impact here on the Aggies. It was a little bit easier to make those comments, but that was probably the hardest thing. I think the biggest accomplishment, along with my voice, I think, is building relationships with faculty, administration, and staff. I feel comfortable with them. I feel that they trust me. They've mentioned it many times to me, and I feel like I can take any issue that students have into President Albrecht's office or to Provost Cockett's office and say, this is a real issue. How can we deal with it? And then have them treat me with respect, knowing that they understand the maturity level and the experience that I've had, mm-hmm. and make changes.
That's wonderful. So going along with that forward thinking, so you mentioned on your candidate profile that you wanted to streamline the process to make it easier for students to get involved. How exactly would you go about that?
So what it would look like is a program. Basically, there would be categories of clubs, and so like outdoor clubs, sports clubs, diversity clubs, departmental clubs. You'd click on that link, a drop down would happen, and all the clubs in that category would show. You then click on the club that you're interested in. It would show when and where the club meets, the president's information. And then also what I'd like to add to this is that you can actually sign up to be in that club right
online.
There.
Oh, how nice.
You send them your information. You have their information. And within minutes, you're in a club. And I think we have over 270 clubs. It is the hardest thing to become one of them.
That's
because
so
you're constantly finding out, where do you meet? What time do you meet? When do you meet? Who's your advisor? How do I get a hold of you guys? I'd really like to be a part of that. And I think we lose so many students who could be involved and who could make a difference because of that hard process.
Yeah, man. I mean, after Day on the Quad, I know I had about 50 different pieces of paper and little flyers and things I was trying to all put together. So, I mean, Day on the Quad's awesome. But if we could have, like you said, a streamlined process, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I was going to say, especially because I know that when I was a freshman, my entire first semester, like, I was just kind of a floater because mm-hmm. I was like, there are all these things that I'm so interested in and I want to get involved with. But like you said, it's so difficult to get on board. Or like, you'll find the president of that club and be like, hey, I want to join. And they're like, oh, that's great. But there's no follow up. So but what's great about that is I guess you can take that into your own hands and take your own initiative and then, you know, mm-hmm. get yourself involved so that we can get our retention rates higher and keep Aggies here, because that is definitely a major concern at this school.
For sure. And think of Day on the Quad, if people had iPads or laptops out there on their tables, you sign up for their club right there. It sends you an email saying, hey, just a reminder, you signed up for this club. This is where we meet, when, there's the president's information. And then also the president gets an email saying, this person signed up for your club. Let them know about all the events and things that are going on.
Oh yeah, experience a couple of those, and they faithfully email me every day. So I can't even escape them if I want to. I have to be involved. So
it's so true.
So thank you so much for coming. Is there anything else you would want our viewers?
No. Oh, sorry.
I think the biggest thing is the second goal, and the second goal is to help institutionalize a more cost-effective tuition model. Right now it takes 15 credits or more to graduate in 4 years of college. I'm in my fifth year, and so this is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Right.
Our tuition model currently disincentivizes students to take 15 credits because there's a plateau at 13 credits, so we pay additional dollars for each additional credit that we take, 1 through 13. What I would like to do is bring that plateau down from 13 down to 12. Mm. That way at 12 you're deemed full-time, you get all your tuition or your financial aid, your scholarships, but then also with that, you're also able to take that additional class without paying an additional dollar. That's less time here at college, more time, you know, out finding a job, less money paying tuition, and more money in the bank.
That's very true.
Well, I can't argue with that. I got one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you support a 24-hour computer lab here in the TSC?
I think I would love that. I think it probably wouldn't cost very much to have someone there for 24 hours. And I think is...
It's already gated off.
Yeah,
it's open
I think it would be beneficial for students, especially during heavy test periods. But I think it would just be nice to have that all the time.
Especially, you know, sometimes your schedule's off of everyone, so...
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey, thank you so much. And where can we learn more about you?
Vote.usu.edu is kind of the website that everyone can vote on, and all of our platforms and information is there.
Oh, wow. Well, definitely. Well, good luck with that. And
great.
No matter what, you did a good campaign.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for being on, Doug. Have a good day. Yep.
Well, that has been it for Aggie Radio, Aggie Newsroom. This is on Aggie Radio. And I'm out with my catchphrase, put an egg on it. This is Riley, by the way.
Well, I am Rachel. What am I this week?
The H is silent.
Inton, yes. And I am telling you to go to sleep.
And in honor of our missed Cody, keep it pretty, Logan City.
Okay, thank you so much. And up next is Weird Socks with some really cool music. And they are actually Cody's mom's number one radio show. The only one to have that honor. And here we go.
Hey, this is Us Thieves, and you're listening to Aggie Radio.
Mr. Butters. And her band.
And you're listening to